ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 4 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 28 ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ Puranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Verse number 38. Tapasa vidyaya pakva kashayo niyamayamai kashayo niyamayamaha yamayamai yuyuje brahmanyatmanam ವಿಜಿತಾಕ್ಷಾನಿಲಾಶಯಃ ತಪಸಾ ವಿದ್ಯಯಾ ಪಕ್ವಾ ಕಷಾಯೋ ನಿಯಮೈರ್ಯಮೈ ಯುಯುಜೇ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣ್ಯಾತ್ಮಾನಾಂ ವಿಜಿತಾಕ್ಷಾನಿಲಾಶಯಃ ತಪಸಾ ವಿದ್ಯಯಾ ಪಕ್ವಾ ಕಷಾಯೋ ನಿಯಮೈರ್ಯಮೈ ಯುಜೇ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣ್ಯಾತ್ಮಾನಾಂ ವಿಜಿತಾಕ್ಷಾನಿಲಾಶಯಃ ತಪಸಾ ಬೈ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ, ವಿದ್ಯೆಯ ಬೈ ಎಜುಕೇಷನ್, ಪಕ್ವ ಬರ್ನ್ಡ್ ಅಪ್, ಕಷಾಯ all dirty things, niyamai by regulative principles, yamai by self control, yuje he fixed, brahmani in spiritual realization, atmanam his self, vijita completely controlled, aksha senses, anila life, ashayaha consciousness. Translation: by worshipping, executing austerities and following the regulative principles, King Malayadvaja conquered his senses, his life and his consciousness. Thus he fixed everything on the central point of the supreme Brahman, Krishna. Translation with repetition: by worshipping, executing austerities and following the regulative principles, King Malayadvaja conquered his senses, his life and his consciousness. Thus he fixed everything on the central point of the supreme Brahman, Krishna. Purport: whenever the word Brahman appears, the impersonals take this to mean the impersonal effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti. Actually, however, Parabrahman, the supreme Brahman, is Krishna, Vasudeva. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Vasudevaha Sarvamiti. Vasudeva extends everywhere as the impersonal Brahman. One cannot fix one's mind upon an impersonal something. Bhagavad Gita 12.5 therefore says, kleshodikata rastesham avyakta sakta chetasam. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. Consequently, when it is said herein that King Malayadvaja fixed his mind on Brahman, Brahman means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. ಮಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂದಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನ ಸಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರೇ. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷ ಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯ. ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ ತದಾ ರಜಸ್ತಮೋ ಭಾವ ಕಾಮಲೋಭಾದಯಶ್ಚಯೇ ಚೇತಾಯತೈರನಾವಿಧಂ ಸ್ಥಿತಂ ಸತ್ವೇ ಪ್ರಸಿದ್ಧ್ಯತೆ. ಏವಂ ಪ್ರಸನ್ನ ಮನಸೋ ಭಗವದ್ಭಕ್ತಿಯೋಗತಃ ಭಗವತ್ತತ್ವವಿಜ್ಞಾನ ಮುಕ್ತಸಂಗಸ್ಯ ಜಾಯತೆ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವತ್ಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ ಪುರಂಜನ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಅ ವುಮನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈಫ್. ಸೊ ದ ಎಂಟೈರ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ in connection with that topic, that's there. Puranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Here Narad Muni has started to preach to Prachina Barishad this allegorical story about the living entity who is transmigrating into innumerable forms since time immemorial, not getting liberated from this bodily encagement. So here, like how Krishna spoke Bhagavad-gita to Arjuna, here Narad Muni is not only speaking to King Prachina Barhishat, but to all of us also, because we are all also Puranjanas. Puranjana, who is Puranjana? Puram means the city, Jana means the living entity living in the body, which is called city, which has 9 gates, and trying to enjoy this material senses to the full of his satisfaction, so that he goes on transmigrating in different types of bodies without cessation. So that is Puranjana. So here, in the very beginning of this chapter, it is starting like how Puranjana, being overly attached to the wife, in the meantime, he is forgetting that the Chandavega is none other than days and nights are passing in his life, and is not able to realize how the time is taking away his life, and is so much engrossed in enjoyment of the material senses. So that is especially it is mentioned here, the period of life just prior to the death certainly is very dangerous time, because usually at that time what happens, the body becomes very weak, the bodily frame becomes very weak. And not only that, it is attacked by so many varieties of diseases. So in that condition, the diseases that attack the body are compared to the soldiers. They come and attack the body. And also, when a man is very young, he doesn't realize the intricacies of old age, the precarious condition of the old age, but he enjoys his senses to the complete satisfaction, not realizing that how he is going to suffer in old age for all that sense enjoyment that he does. So in the old age, the person who enjoys so much of sense gratification, he suffers a lot at the end of his life, and he's not able to bear these miseries of this body, and sometimes he prays to the Lord very intensely to give him death very soon. So he's not able to tolerate these miseries. So that is why these miseries of the body, they'll disturb the body so much that he'll pray for immediate death. Oh my Lord, please give me death. I'm not able to suffer anymore. So this body has got 9 gates. Navadware Pure Dehi, Krishna says in Gita also. So that what are the 9 gates of the body? 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, mouth, genitals and rectum. So all these gates of the body will be completely manifesting different kinds of diseases. Like for example, once we cross 40 years, we cannot see properly, so we need the glasses to see. And we cannot hear, so we need the hearing aids. Without hearing aids, we cannot hear. Without the glasses, we cannot see. And similarly, the nostrils, they become completely covered by mucus. Then we have to sniff this ammonia to clear those nasal passages. And the mouth, we like to eat so much, but the teeth become so loose, and we have to depend on artificial teeth. And also the genitals, rectum especially, sometimes we have this constipation, and we have to have enema, so that is also clear. And not only that, the most important part, antahpura. According to this Puranjana allegorical story, Antahpura means the heart, which is the main part of the body. that also gives so much trouble. Like, you know, the arteries get blocked, we need to put stents or bypass operations sometime. So so we depend so much in old age on medication. Without medicines, we cannot survive. We are surviving on medication in the old age. So many, all the gates of the body are manifested with various kinds of diseases. So to maintain ourselves from those diseases, we need to take the aid of medication that will keep us going in the old age. And not only that, sometimes some surgical instruments are inserted. Like for example, if you have a knee replacement, they put some steel bows, things and all inside. And if the heart arteries are blocked, then they put something called stent. So like this, we depend on all these things. So this is called old age, which gives so much problem to the body. And before death, what happens is, usually after death, the body is burnt, right? So before death, the body gets like, you know, we get a fever called prajwara. That temperature becomes so hot, and sometimes it can go to 107 degrees. And when it gets so hot, the body unable to like tolerate that extreme fever, then the body goes into coma stage, so that the body will not experience any material miseries that the body is facing. So this is called old age. So this Puranjana, the living entity, even in that condition, he doesn't want to leave the body. He's so attached to that body, and not only that, his wife, his family, his children, at the time of death, he's completely engrossed in the thoughts of his family, the maintenance of the family, who is going to take care of them. So he's completely thinking of these things, and especially the wife is very, very dear to the husband. If the wife is very, very chaste, and she's very obedient and very submissive to the husband, by her service attitude, she completely wins the heart of the husband, and he constantly thinks of her. And also Chanakya Pandit says that if a woman is very, very beautiful, she's actually Rupavati. He can be an enemy for a person who is really trying to advance in Krishna consciousness. So that is how this King Puranjana, he's thinking of the queen at the time of death. And not only that, he's thinking about how she is going to, like, he doesn't want to leave the body, but he's forced to leave the body. So just like the example is given, the snake in the tree is sitting there, and when the extreme fire, the forest fire comes, he's unable, he wants to quit. Like serpent is compared to, five-hooded serpent is compared to life air. Even though so many diseases are manifesting in the body, this life air, which five-hood, like this five senses there, that is protecting the body, the Puranjana, the body of the living entity. And then when this extreme fever, before death, when this extreme fever, prajwara comes, at that time, like up to this time, there is some control, the life air is able to control the body of the living entity. But when this fever is very, very high, then he's not able to tolerate. Just like in a forest fire, all the snakes, they cannot live. They try to escape, but they cannot, because they don't have legs. They get burnt like that. So similarly, the living entity, the life force, it cannot tolerate that extreme temperature. Then he wants to quit, leave that body. So like that, this is the precarious condition of a living entity at the time of death. And he sometimes goes into coma stage as well. So this is the precarious, and at that time Puranjana is thinking of his wife, his children, and all the accumulation of his finances, how they are going to be maintained. And he's very much feeling that, he's also thinking that all my wife, children, if I leave the body, how is my wife going to take the burden of continuing looking after, maintaining my children, my sons, and all that. So in that consciousness, he's deeply thinking, engrossed in his wife and children and so many things. And he's thinking that all my sons, they are depending on me for maintenance. Like, it's like if I leave the body like this, then he's comparing. If somebody has read this part of Bhagavatam, can you tell what he's comparing that to? A ship going in the mid of the ocean, and suddenly it gets wrecked, like, you know, in the middle of the ocean. Like that is comparing, like even So he is saying that if I die, who is going to maintain that? It's like a ship going into the middle of the ocean, it's wrecked. So like that. So he's thinking of the, deeply thinking of his wife, and in that consciousness, he's leaving the body, and he's getting, becomes a woman in the next life, who is none other than the wife of King Vidarbha, the daughter of King Vidarbha, who is Vidarbhi, and then she marries Malayadvaja. So that is how the chapter progresses, and it is very, very important to see that a man doesn't get, like, you know, too much. Of course, the difference between grihastha and grihamedi is that a grihastha is always centering his life, keeping Krishna in the center, and his family, everybody, are then he's not thinking that they are the objects for his sense gratification, but in turn they are all servants of Krishna, is engaging them in Krishna's service. In that way, the husband and wife can keep Krishna in the center and have a very good relationship and affection, not on the superficial attraction like that. So center is Krishna. That way a man can have affection to wife. At that time he will not actually think of his wife. He thinks that she is a servant of Krishna, she is serving Krishna in that way. Otherwise, an ordinary person, he thinks that my wife is for my enjoyment, and he becomes so attached to wife, and especially if she is very, very humble, chaste and obedient and very submissive, by her service mood she conquers the heart of her husband. And also similarly here King Puranjana, he has been thinking of his wife, thinking that how she wouldn't eat, she always ate after he ate, she always took bath after he took bath, and she always, like, you know, did everything after he did. So in that way, and even sometimes he was very angry, and she never, she was very humble, she never got angry and retaliated. And whenever he was away, and whenever he was in difficult times, bewildered, that time she was counseling him very well. So, and all these things, and when he went away, she was missing him so much, she was feeling separation, so she got so much attached to him. These are the qualities of a woman which makes the husband keep her under her control. So that way King Puranjana, at the time of death, he remembered all these things with his wife, how she didn't eat before he ate, she didn't take bath before he. So all the time she was very, very serving her husband, and was very obedient and very chaste. So this made King Puranjana come completely under the control of his wife. So here also in the Bhagavatam it is said that how this all begins is Pumsaha Sriyaha Maituni Bhava Metham. So Pumsaha Sriyaha Maituni Bhava Metham Tayor Mito Hrudaya Grantim Ahu Ato Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vittair Janasya Mohoyam Aham Mameti. It is said that the attraction, the basic principle of material existence is the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties the heart of both the male and females together, ties the heart of both male and female, and then comes the more extended family, like, you know, then becomes attracted to the his body. First he gets attracted to his body, then his wife, then his home, his property, children, relatives, and to maintain them he has to earn vittai. Vittai means wealth. And in this way one increases life's illusions and thinks of himself in terms of I and mine. That's how King Puranjana began to think I and mine. Aham mameti concept. So this is how the heart of male and female becomes hridaya granthi, hard knotted. Then comes children, wife, griha kshetra. Griha means house. When husband and wife get married, they need a place to live, they need house. Kshetra, field. Then children, then come children. Then relatives, Suta apta. Suta means children, apta means relatives, and vittai, to maintain this family, wife, children and all, he has to earn money, which is called vittai. In that way, the life's illusions continue and he thinks in terms of aham mameti. This is the basic principle of material existence, the attraction between male and female. That keeps completely bound. The man becomes completely bound. Prahlad Maharaj also says that in the family life, the wife is so affectionate to the husband, their picture, wife and children are so affectionate that their pictures are within the core of his heart. Sometimes even in the mobile phones, they keep the picture of their children, their wife, like that. Their core of their heart, his heart is filled with the pictures of his wife and children. And especially it is said, mentioned that the daughter is very, very dear to the father. Even after she is married, she is sent to her husband's house, still she is there in the father's mind. So that very deep affection between father and daughter is mentioned there. And also the old parents who are also very dear. And not only that, the family paraphernalia, the furniture, everything also he gets attracted. So in this way, the man becomes so attracted to the family, children and all. And just for the satisfaction of two important senses, what are that? Genitals and tongue. He is completely imprisoned, just like a silkworm is completely covered in a cocoon like that, no? This living entity becomes completely entangled. He becomes covered like a cocoon, imprisoned in the, like, you know, in the silkworm is imprisoned in the cocoon like that for the most important senses of genitals and tongue. So he forgets the goal of life and completely illusion and gets so attached to this woman. So like that, it is also said that in Bhagavatam, it is said that one so seriously considers one's wife to be his own that he sometimes kills himself. So he owns his wife so much so that sometimes he kills himself. Not only he kills himself for her, or kills others also. And he, including even his parents or his even guru. So the wife is so dear to that husband that sometimes he kills himself, or he kills others, or he kills his parents, or he even kills his guru, spiritual master. So therefore, if one can give up the attachment to such a wife, then what happens? He conquers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never conquered by anyone. Ajito jito piva. Krishna is unconquerable. But he can conquer the unconquerable when he gives attachment to such a wife. That is what Bhagavatam says. One so seriously considers one's wife to be his own that he sometimes kills himself for her, or kills others, including his parents or his spiritual master or teacher. Therefore, if one can give up his attachment to such a wife, he conquers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never conquered by anyone. So even in Amrish Maharaj Katha, we hear that the Lord says that I am not at all independent. Aham bhakta paradhino hyasva tantra ivadvija sadhubir grashta hrudayo bhaktair bhakta janapriyaha. He says that people think that I am independent. Actually, I am not at all independent. Why? Because my devotees, by their devotion, they completely put me under their control. So then, they completely put me under them. Bhakta, the devotees are not only dear to me, even the devotees of my devotees are very, very dear to me. Why they become so dear to Krishna? Because they give up the family, wife, children, everything. They will completely give up the attachment and everything. They sever the relationship. Then giving up everything unto me. So how can I not be, by that devotion, they completely put me under their control. That's what he says. And also here it is also said that, very important verse, Natathasya bhaven moho bandaschanya prasangataha yoshit sangad yatha pumso yatha tat sangi sangataha. The infatuation and bondage which accrue to a man from attachment to any other object is not as complete as that resulting from attachment to a woman or to the fellowship of men who are fond of women. This very, very powerful verse, the infatuation and bondage which accrue to a man from attachment to any other object is not as complete as that resulting from attachment to a woman or to the fellowship of women who are fond of women. So, the bondage for a man is this woman. Like, you know, we are not against marrying, we are not against being with wife, but we have to understand that they are all the external energy of the Lord and they have to be used in Krishna's service, they have to be engaged in Krishna's service. Otherwise, if we think that they are for our enjoyment, then we go on transmigrating in different bodies, especially Puranjana thinking of his wife at the time of death. Unfortunately, he becomes a woman in the next life, and vice versa. Like, for example, I am a woman now. Maybe in my previous life sometime I got attached to my husband so much, like, you know, I was a man in my previous life, I got so much attached to my wife, so at the time of death I might have thought of my wife, and I'm woman now. So the a man is death for woman and woman is death for man, because they are all products of external energy. We are all eternally Krishna's servants. Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhutaha sanatanaha manaha shastan indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So like that, we are all Krishna's part and parcel. And by this relationship, we are meant to serve Krishna, and we are Krishna's servants. Other than that, if we try to enjoy ourselves separately from Krishna, then we are put under the control of the modes of material nature, and all our activities, they prepare our next body. Karmana daivanetrena jantur dehopapattaye. So it is said that by the activities of the living entities and by the supervision of the Lord, the activities, the tailor-made body is created. The subtle body, even though we leave the gross body, which is made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, we leave the gross body, but the subtle body we are carrying life after life. Whatever desires we store, whatever the cumulative thoughts of our during our life, whatever we have thought the most in our life, that will flash at the time of death. And we will think of that. Yamyam, Krishna says that yamyam va pismaran bhavam tijantyante kalevaram tam tamevaiti kaunteya sadatat bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers at the time of death, we will enter into that body. Whatever state of being one remembers at the time of death, we think in that body the soul enters. So that is why it is very, very important. Many people nowadays, we are spending so much money for the body health. Like, we spend millions of dollars, the fitness, you know, reducing the weight and keeping the body very, very fit. Of course, body is important. It's like a vehicle, like the car is important to move for us from place to place. But more than that, what is important is the health of the mind is very important. Because the mind is the one that is carrying us from one body to another. So the body, the mind should be completely fixed on Krishna. Like Ambarish Maharaj says, Savai manaha Krishna padaravindayor vacham shivai kunta gunanu varnane. We have to fix our mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. Otherwise we will be in a very dangerous situation. Arjuna is also asking that question. Chanchalam hi manaha Krishna pramati balavadridam Tasyaham nigraham manye vayuri vasudushkaram. Krishna elaborately explained this Ashtanga Yoga. Guess what? To bring the control the mind is very, very difficult. It is very strong, obstinate, you know, restless. Very strong and obstinate. To bring the mind under control is very, very difficult. But does Krishna say that, yes, Arjuna, it's very difficult. Forget about this yoga. Does Krishna say that? No, he says that, yes, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it, still it is possible by suitable practice and detachment. He is not saying that, yes, it is true. First two lines he is saying, asamshayam mahabaho manodur nigraham chalam abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagena chagrihyate. It is definitely possible by suitable practice and detachment. One has to hear Krishna katha. That will purge all the mind's misgivings. We can wake up, jeev jago, wake up to the reality of our life. Hearing process, shravanam, is very, very powerful process. That's what Parikshit Maharaj did for 7 days and 7 nights before his death. And also eating Krishna prasad, tongue, that can bring all the senses under control. Sharira, vidyajal. So like that, all the senses should be brought under control. Here, of course, King Malayadvaja at the end of his life thought of his wife and he became a woman in the next life. Of course, Malayadvaja, this Vidarbhi married Malayadvaja. And then, this Malayadvaja, he was a very powerful man. He was a resident of Pandu dynasty. And also, he had, along with Vidarbhi and King Malayadvaja, they had one daughter and 7 sons. The 7 sons, they ruled, then they in turn had thousands and thousands of sons, and then one daughter, the first daughter of Malayadvaja married Agastya Muni, and by their combination they had a son by name Dhrudachyuta. And by their, from Dhrudachyuta, another son was born who was known as Idmavaha. So like this, then all the sons of King Malayadvaja, they ruled for several years and till the end of the one life of Manu. They ruled very, very, protected the citizens, very, very nice. Like usually having children is not a problem, just that because Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that having children is not a problem. Like, you know, it's not like delivering the children like cats and dogs. It's not like that. But if one can have a children like Krishna conscious offspring, Krishna says that in the Gita also, dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatasa balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarjitam dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarsaba. I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire and sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. Or Lord of the, O sign of Bharata, he says that I am sex life. The sex life can also be used in Krishna's service by producing Krishna conscious offspring. Otherwise, if we have for our own satisfaction, children are born like cats and dogs, they can be like Varna Sankara. But if children are born in right consciousness, through proper consciousness of performing Garbhadana Samskara and all, then those children are very much welcome, because we need so many people. Like even 10 children are born, if they can go to every direction and preach to so many people can be delivered in the world. So similarly here, this Vidarbhi and Malayadvaja, they had thousands and thousands of sons, and they were all very good progeny. They could protect the citizens, they could rule the entire world very nicely, and they ruled for the entire of one Manu's lifetime like that. So like that, these are good citizens, no? They are liberating the entire world. So then after that, what happened? Malayadvaja, being very, very responsible, he handed over all his everything, all his money, everything he divided among his sons and he retired. He wanted to dedicate his life to worship Krishna with all due attention, complete attention. And he went to a place called Kulachala, and there he all the rivers like Vatodaka, Tamrapani and Chandra, so all these nice rivers, he took a very Chandravasa and Tamrapani and then Vatodaka. There in a very nice place, he took bath and then he purified himself from externally and internally. And in that way, he ate very frugally, like he lived on berries, fruits, leaves, grass, and very, very simple living. And that way, he lost his weight. In that, and he became very thin, and he completely concentrated his mind on Krishna. So in that purport, it is said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, he always chastised devotees who were very, very fat. Huh? One should not eat too much or eat too little. Because Krishna also says in Gita that natyashnatastu yogos tina chaikanta manashnataha nachati swapna shilasya jagrato naivacharjuna. One who is practicing yoga, he should not eat too much nor eat too little. Sleep too much or sleep too little. Because if eating too much, then it will spoil his spiritual life. So everything should be very balanced. Not eating too much, not eating too less. Nor sleeping too much, nor sleeping too less. And he also says, yukta hara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmashu yukta swapnava bhodasya yogo bhavati dukkaha. He who is regulated in the habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing yoga system. That is what Malayadvaja was doing. He ate very frugally because he knew that overeating, overindulging, then what happens is his goal of life will be disturbed, you know. He was very balanced and he lived on a very bare minimum. These are the great austerities one has to do. And in the next verse also it is said that in this way he controlled his mind and senses, and he he was completely transcended the dualities, relativities of this life. Like Krishna says, Matra Asparshastu Kanteya Sitoshna Sukadukkada Agamapai No Nitya Stamstitik Shaspa Bharata. O sign of Bharata, the non-permanent of appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. And one must learn to tolerate them. One must not be disturbed by these onslaughts coming and going. And one has to become very tolerant. How we can do that? By performing severe austerities. Prabhupada says that in the purport of Matrasparshastu, in the severe heat, 45 degrees, the woman should not think that, oh, it is too hot, I'm not going to cook. She should not go and sleep, you know. But she should still tolerate, she has to do her duty. Bhakti is built on the duty platform. One has to perform duty regardless of these onslaughts. One has to learn to tolerate them. The duty, bhakti is built on the duty platform. So one has to still perform the duty. And even in the months of December, of course here it's in the month of June. In India, in the month of December, it's very, very cold. Of course, India, some part of India is cold. Now it's not cold anymore in India also. But here we'll compare in the month of June like that. It is very, very cold. But one should not think that, oh, it's very, very cold. I'm not going to get up in the morning for Mangalarti or do my devotional practices. Still, one has to learn to tolerate these onslaughts and still perform the duty, because bhakti is built on duty platform. One has to carry on the, should not get disturbed. Because why one should not get disturbed? Because they are temporary in nature. They come and go. The winter is not permanent, then the summer will come. Then the summer is not permanent, the winter will come. Similarly, the happiness is there, then next moment there may be distress. Then the distress, then there is happiness. So they are temporary in nature. So one must learn to tolerate. How the one can do? By performing severe austerities. That is what here it is said. Through austerity, King Malayadvaja in the body and mind gradually became equal to dualities of cold and heat, happiness and distress, rain, wind and rain, hunger and thirst, the pleasant and the unpleasant. In this way, he conquered all relativities. So again it is said, today's verse, by worshipping, executing austerities and following the regulative principles, he is completely opposite to King Puranjana. King Puranjana at the end of life, like he till the ripe old age, he lived in the family, enjoyed with the wife, and that is why it is said that when one crosses 50 years, one has to leave home. Brahmacharya life and Vanaprastha and Sannyas, there is no connection with women whatsoever. Though no connection with women at all. But only in Grahastha life, only under restricted way, they can associate with women. So, here, Puranjana, till the ripe old age, living in the comfort of the house and being with the wife and children, encumbered, like thinking of the how she is going to maintain, and in that consciousness, sometimes some people accumulate so much wealth and properties, and they use all their hard-earned money and all their energy and time in their life, which is very valuable, and in accumulation of so much wealth, so much properties and all, do you think they can think of Krishna at the time of death? Definitely not. They'll be thinking that who is going to take over this property, who is going to enjoy, how my wife is going to maintain all these properties. Definitely he cannot think. So that is why it is very, very important that we are very, very alert to the, like, you know, King Katvanga Maharaj, he was very alert to the prime duty of his life. Although he was a king, he was very much devoted to Krishna. He always thought of Krishna, and even though he performing his kingly duties, he still never forgot what was his prime duty of his life. He never deviated from that central vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana, the one-pointed complete attention to the Lord. That is why when he went to the heavenly planets to fight with the demons, again the demigods were very happy, and they told, what benediction do you want, because you helped us to fight with the demons, what benediction? He said that all that I want to know is that how much time is left in my body, in my life, how much time is left. Then they said, the only one moment. He immediately came to the earth and took at the shelter of the Vishnu temple, and he left his body. So like that, one has to be alert to the prime duty of his life. Then one can really understand what. So like that, attachment to family members becomes very prominent at the time of death. And also, if one thinks of his wife instead of Krishna at the time of death, he will certainly not return back home back to Godhead, but will be forced to accept a body of a woman, and thus begin another chapter of material existence all over again. So the living entity constantly transmigrating in different bodies, forgetting his avijnata, the real friend, who is constant companion in every body he takes, the super soul is accompanying the individual soul. Even Puranjana, at the time of death, he could not remember that avijnata, the unknown friend, who is eternally there as a constant companion and his friend. And till we, like in the Kathopinishad, it is said that on a tree there are two birds sitting next to each other. One bird is so much engrossed in eating the fruit of the tree that is completely engrossed. And the bird who is sitting next to him, who is the super soul, he is witnessing the bird who is so much engrossed in eating the fruit. That witnessing bird who is super soul is thinking, when will this bird who is eating the fruit, when will he turn and look at me? Then all his lamentation, anxieties, everything will go away. So till we turn and see who is next to us, the Paramatma, who is the constant companion. And actually in this very same chapter, at the very end, when the queen, Vidarbhi, after Malayadvaja, she is massaging his feet and she feels that suddenly his legs have become very cold and he has left his body. And she laments, she says that in this forest there is nobody, in this solitary place, you have left me alone, like, you know, so many fools and rascals are there, how am I going to, like that she was lamenting, and she set up a funeral pyre for her husband and she put the body, and she was also going to burn with herself along with her husband. That time a Brahmana, the super soul in the form of Brahmana, he comes and instructs her, like, you know, why are you crying, who is this man? The super soul is coming and instructing her. So similarly, in many instances in Bhagavatam, when the deceased, when the king, like even in the 7th canto, 2nd chapter, Suyajna, when he dies, all the queens are falling at his, and they are going on crying incessantly, that, you know, they are not, sun's course has passed, and then they were ready to take the body. They are not letting the body to be taken. They are falling, they are crying so much. Then the cries of this woman could be heard by Yamaraj from the heavenly planets. And he was feeling like, you know, what is that? He could hear, and he took a form of a small boy, and he is coming and instructing these queens. What is this? So many people have died in the past. You are all seem to be very experienced women. Have you not realized all these things? Still you are crying for this body? This is very not good. Like, you know, you have to understand that this. So many people have died in the past, and so many people will die. And by these experiences, you have to mature and understand, realize why you are crying for this. Similarly here in the story, in the same chapter at the very end, when Queen Vidarbhi is crying, the super soul is coming and instructing. Why you are crying like that, you know? So like that, even Chitraketu also, in the story of Chitraketu, when Chitraketu was also crying, in the beginning actually Angira Muni, they came to instruct the king, you know? But when the king was actually lamenting for something material, they thought that even if you give this transcendental knowledge now, he will not be able to understand. So then they gave him what he wanted. He was lamenting for the son. Then he gave them the son by performing yajna, giving the sweet rice to Kritadhyuti. She ate and she had children. She had a son who was the source of soka and moha, jubilation and lamentation. Of course, at the very end, the child will die, and then Chitraketu is again lamenting. That time again, Angira Muni, they are coming and seeing what is happening with the king. He is lamenting so much. Then they come and teach him the transcendental knowledge. So similarly here, super soul is coming and telling, you know, I was all through with you, you know, they are forgetting me. You have completely taken up materialistic life like that, you know. I'm like a swan. We, the two birds, the two souls within the heart region are like two swans, it is compared to. So like that, very instructive story. This Puranjana story is very, very instructive. And it is not only Narad Muni telling to King Prachina Bharishat, to all of us also, because we are all also Puranjanas. Thank you all very, very much for your attention. And any questions anybody has, we can answer. Any questions? So women are compared to like fire and men are compared to butter. When fire and butter come close, what will happen? The butter will melt. Huh? So like that. The woman is like, you know, it is said that amongst all kinds of living entities begotten by Brahma, namely men, demigods and animals, none but the sage Narayana is immune to the attraction of Maya in the form of woman. Just try and understand the mighty strength of my Maya in the shape of woman, who by the mere movement of her eyebrows can keep even the greatest conquerors of the world under her grip. We have seen even Vishwamitra, he wanted to become Brahma Rishi, like, you know, great Rishi, you know. He was sitting and completely in meditation. At that time, just by hearing the ankle bends of Menaka, you know, he fell from this. Dhyayato vishyan pumshah sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kamaha kamat krodho vijayate krodhat bhavati sammoha sammoha smriti vibramaha smriti bhramshat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashati. While contemplating the objects of senses, a person develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger arises. From anger, complete delusion arises. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. When intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. Very, very important. So how the living entity falls down from this. Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha kamakrodas tathalobas tasmadetat trayam tijet. There are three gates leading to this hell: lust, anger and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. So it's very, very important that an advancing transcendentalist, one who aspires to reach the culmination of yoga and has realized his self by rendering service unto me, should never associate with an attractive woman. For such a woman is declared in the scripture to be the gateway to hell for the advancing devotee. Especially a beautiful woman is very, very dangerous for an advancing devotee. So one has to be completely very, very... Krishna says that yatatohyapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini haranti prasabhammanaha. The senses are so strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they forcibly carry away the man, even a man of discrimination, who is endeavoring to control them. The senses are so strong and impetuous that they forcibly carry away a man of discrimination. Even a man who has discrimination, it's going to forcibly carry a man of discrimination who is endeavoring to control them. Even one indriyanam hi charatam yanmano nividhiyate tadasya harati pragnam vayurna vammivambhasi. As a boat on a water is swept away by a strong wind, similarly, even one of the roaming senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. No? Very important, the last few verses of the second chapter, Krishna is telling how one can, the last few verses are talking about sense control. How can one bring the senses under control? Of course, it is devotional service. Like, manchayo vyabhichare na bhakti yoge na sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Complete by bhakti yoga, one can bring all the senses under control. Otherwise, it is impossible. Then also by experiencing a higher taste, what is vishayavini vartante niraha rasya dehinaha rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. It is said that although the senses, by experiencing a higher taste, one can give up the lower taste. Otherwise, it is impossible. How can one enjoy higher taste? In bhakti yoga, all the senses can be engaged in the service of the master of the senses. Savai manah krishna padaravindayor vacham shivai kunta gunanuvarnane karo harer mandira marjanadishu shrutim chakarachita satkatodaye mukunda lingalaya darshane drisho tadbrutya gatra sparshenga sangamam granam cha tatpada saroja saurabe srimat tulaschit rasanam tadarpite. Pado hare kshetra padanu sarpane shiro hrishikesha padabhivandane. Kamam cha dasi natukama kameya yathottama sloka janasraya ratihi. Ambarish Maharaj completely engaged all his senses in the service of the master of the senses. He engaged his head in bowing down before the Lord. He engaged his eyes looking at the beautiful form of the Lord. He engaged his ears in hearing Krishna katha. He engaged his tongue in speaking about Krishna and tasting Krishna prasad. He engaged his hands in cleansing the temple of the Lord. He engaged his legs in Pada hare kshetra padana sarpane, going to all the holy places and the temples of the Lord. In that way, he brought all the senses under the control of the master of the senses. So that way he completely savai manaha krishna padaravindayur. He fixed his mind at the lotus pada aravindayur, at the lotus feet of Krishna. That way, that is the only way for us to not think of women at the time of death or a husband at the time of death. Otherwise we are in a very, very dangerous situation. Puranjana becomes a woman in the next life. What a danger. Again, go on transmigrating into innumerable forms with one-legged, two-legged, three-legged, four-legged, many legs and legless. Trying to enjoy among all the living entities, that can be a living entity prefers human form, which has nine gates, or a demigod form, which has nine gates, because he can enjoy the senses maximum with these nine gates. Thank you all very, very much. Hare Krishna.